piston.
To understand my parents, you have to appreciate the tragedy with which they lived and coped. I was one of three children. Their oldest child was a daughter who died in infancy. The second child was a daughter, Marcel, who died at age 7 from something you don't die from anymore, double mastoids. I came, and 4 years later, my brother was named Eslie Russlander Jr. after my father, was in law school at the time he was drafted into the Army in 1942. Rather than to go in as a draftee, he was able to get a commission and went through officer's training, but was killed in a plane accident in Scotland in 1943. Thus, my parents had surviving only one of their own three children, and additionally, they considered they lost another child when my first wife, Anita Oringer, passed away in 1950. It was interesting to me that many of my father's business associates took the trouble to tell me that they were so glad that my first child was a girl, because they knew how devoted my parents had been to their daughter, Marcel, for the 7 years that she lived, and they thought that there could well be a transference of that feeling and interest when their first grandchild turned out to be a girl. I can testify, however, that their devotion was not just to the girl. They took all of my three children to their hearts and had unique ways with all of them. My father having much more patience than I with my own children. His father is reputed to have said that if he would have it to do all over again, he would have nothing but grandchildren, where he have all of the pleasure and none of the responsibility. I think all of us go through a cycle where we can appreciate that kind of a philosophy.
Your children are how old?
Oh, for the record, my three children are Patricia, Jane Russlander, really named for her grandmother Phoebe Jane. Mm-hmm. She is married to a Dr. Adler and lives in Tucson, Arizona, where I have my two grandsons. Mm-hmm. I have two unmarried sons, Eslie Russlander, who is an attorney with the Public Defender's Office here in Pittsburgh, and the youngest son, John Russlander, who works and lives in Pittsburgh.
Can we go back to your parents for a moment then, and talk briefly about your father's, or not briefly, about your father's professional life in addition to his community interests?
In speaking of my father's professional development, he underwent a rather interesting change during a period of years. While he was with Wallen Thorpe, he was very heavily engaged in litigation and did a great deal of trial work. But in 1916, he elected to leave the firm of Wallen Thorpe and, in effect, established a business relationship with Frank Wilbur Main. Frank Wilbur Main developing an accounting firm, and my father developing a law practice, lawyers and accountants not being permitted by the code of ethics of either profession to be partners. But in close association, father did a great deal of tax work with Mr. Main. the two men collaborated on the first comprehensive book on Pennsylvania taxes, which went through, I believe, three editions before it was replaced with a loosely service such as all tax services are in this day and age. But my father elected to specialize in taxes and lived through the rise and the importance of that aspect of our government and economy from 1960 till the time of his death in 1976. Even after he reached the point where he did not actively practice, his interest in taxes led him to read the tax services so that at all times he would be familiar with the changes being proposed in new legislation. As a matter of fact, in our own office, we frequently used him as a reference tool when we wanted to know what a particular act that was under consideration contained insofar as a particular section of the taxes, and uniformly he was able to give us the answer. Father was most proud of the several cases that he tried in the United States Supreme Court, and always chided me because I was never able to equal his record. He enjoyed the challenge of the law, and through his many tax case decisions helped mold, in effect, part of the tax law. He taught tax accounting at Duquesne Night School for several years, but claimed that he was only the only professor who couldn't year in and year out use his same notes because of the changes in the law, and finally had to give it up because of the demands on his time, even though he found it stimulating to be challenged by the, as he termed them, bright young people dedicated enough to their professions to go to night school.
Can you give us any more comments on your mother's life, aside from her gardening interests and her, I suppose, her family interests?
This interview might seem to be disproportionately loaded insofar as my father's activities are concerned. It's not possible to slight my mother, who was a woman of warmth and dedication, but one who did not willingly assume a front role in any activity in which she participated. She was rather the soldier and not the officer, but managed to make her influence felt in anything to which she devoted herself. She also managed to influence my father's life in such ways as to tell him that the time had come for him to retire as president of the temple, and then enforced her decision. It was not a unilateral decision, of course, but indicates that she did have a role in what my father did, and together they worked out what was pleasing to them.
What influence did your grandparents have? We can go back to Phoebe Russlander.
I think both of my parents were very proud of their respective parents, recognized their strengths and sometimes their foibles. Interesting about my mother, who was rather a fearless woman in some ways. She was, of course, in the habit of visiting her father, who lived in Los Angeles, and I believe it was 1937 she decided that trains were no longer the way to travel, and she took a plane. But unfortunately, the plane, by reason of weather, had to land somewhere in Kansas, and they put her on a train for 2 days, then put her back on the plane. And she couldn't claim a round-trip continental flight by air. But I can remember that in 1929, when we had been in California visiting with my grandfather, my mother and I were in San Diego, and she noticed that they were advertising aerial flights over the city and the seaport. So she and I went up together in an open cockpit plane, where I strapped a helmet and goggles on my mother, and that was rather typical of her. She was interested in anything that might challenge her a little bit. I enjoyed the flight too.
Quite a woman. Can you tell us anything further? Shall we go back, before we get to more current things, to your grandparents for any other anecdotes, any thoughts that you might have on their effect on their children or their grandchildren?
It's not directly responsive to your question, but the most famous relative we have in the family was on my grandmother Phoebe Katz's side, who lived in Poland and took horses from the Russians. He was either regarded as a horse thief by the Russians or as a patriot by the Poles, and no one has ever been able to dispute either position. That's one family story that is told in each generation, and I get a particular kick out.
What was his relationship to your grandmother?
He was a cousin of my grandmother. My grandfather, Dr. Hartwig, I think I indicated, was a highly regarded physician, but also a man of strong personality. He was very interested in anything new and inventions. I never could understand it, but he had one of the first telephones in Buffalo and realized what good it would do you if you only had one or two people to talk to. But nevertheless, that indicated his interest in all things new. He, as a doctor, always had a horse and carriage, and required someone to take care of it while he was making house calls. He subsequently got one of the first automobiles, which my mother told me was so light that spectators would lift it up to examine its underside and to examine it mechanically, that he had to retain the footman that he had for the carriage to watch the car while he was in business, so he was not able to cut down on the payroll. He also lost money backing one of the first manufacturers of typewriters, which was, again, an interest in things new. But in a professional way, he gained quite a reputation for having developed the first operation for repair of a broken kneecap. I'm not medically versed enough to be able to say anything more than that. His was one of the first processes for that operation.
I know that's a tribute to him, because kneecaps, I know, are one of the most tricky parts of the body to work on.
It was and is a difficult problem, but he was written out about and wrote as a doctor on the subject. He serviced a lot of the foreign-born in Buffalo, having his office originally as front part of the family dwelling, and all of the grandchildren had been dutifully walked by 880 Main Street so that they could see where the Hartwig roots were located.
Did any of the none of the grandchildren went into medicine?
No. No doctor.
Nothing. He did not live in Pittsburgh at all.
Never lived in Pittsburgh. The Russlander family and the Hartwig family, unlike many others, were very small. the Russlanders, Moses and Phoebe had two children, my father and his brother, Fred Russlander. The Hartwigs had two children, my mother and her brother, Max Hartwig. So that we did not participate in large family gatherings. It was rather a revelation to me after I married into the Orringer family and became a part of large groups on both sides, and also very enjoyable.
Your grandmother.
I don't want to slight my present wife, her family, the Vatsas are large enough.
Is there anything at all you would like to add about your grandmother, Phoebe?
You were going to tell us about her interest in the blind and how she happened to develop that.
Of all the work that my grandmother did, probably the one where she gets the greatest recognition and broader community aspects is for her work in the blind. She was interested in the blind because of a sight problem of one of her nieces who, from childhood, was legally blind, even though she did have some vision. When the Pennsylvania Association for the Blind Pittsburgh branch was formed, the original emphasis was on a sheltered workshop. And my grandmother's niece actually worked in the shop, and thus benefited from her work. The new building of the Pittsburgh Blind Association, of course, has a large plaque in it indicating the role of my grandmother as one of the founders.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was able to hound the prominent members of the community, both Jewish and non-Jewish, for the necessary funds to get this organization off the ground. And she was dedicated to it the entire time she lived in Pittsburgh. She incidentally interested Mr. Main in the work, and he was ultimately a president of the association.
Mm-hmm.
My father, of course, was on the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.